It's my distinct pleasure this morning to be able to introduce to you a man who I've literally known all of his life. And so I can tell you a few stories, but I'll, for sake of time, I'll just let that stand there. But let me introduce to you Kenny Roberts. He's going to come come and bring the word for us this morning.
So. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? You're awake? You're here? Good. I'm glad. I'm kind of awake. We have a almost four-month-old daughter. And so, as most of you know who have had kids, sleep is not something that you run by too often when you have a baby. She's been sleeping pretty good, but even when she sleeps, we're kind of awake because we're a little afraid that she's awake or something's going on or she's choking to death or something. Those are the things that you think about. You hear a noise and you think, I got to go to the emergency room immediately because something is wrong. So we are glad to be with you. I'm glad to be with you and share God's word with you this morning. This is my favorite thing of what I get to do. I am currently a student pastor in Sarasota, Florida, and I do a lot of things ministry-wise, but this is what I love most. This is a humble privilege to share God's word with you and with anybody that God puts before me. So thank you for being here today and giving me the privilege of doing this. As I was getting ready to speak, 1 Peter was where I initially landed and felt like maybe that's where God was leading me to be. And I had a message ready to go, and it was about 2 weeks ago that my own personal life, I just knew that wasn't it. I knew that wasn't where God wanted me to be this morning because I'm in a stage in my life, not just with having a baby in the house, but with so many things going on that I'm running at 200%. And I feel like there's so many moving pieces that I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go next. And so for me personally, my life is crazy, and it's easy to let ministry and it's easy to let my time with the Lord become routine and become just something that I do. And so God very, very clearly pointed me back to Psalm 23. I don't know about you, but Psalm 23 is the place that I go when I'm in a season of dry spiritual land. When I need to be refreshed, when I need to be rejuvenated, Psalm 23 is where God points me often. And I've heard it all my life. I've quoted it. I went to even public school back in the Bahamas where I grew up. We would quote it all the time at school. And it was something that I had heard often. But it wasn't until I was about 20 years old that for the first time I saw Psalm 23 with fresh eyes. And now every time God takes me back there, it's the same thing. Because it doesn't matter how many times I hear it, it brings refreshment to my soul. John Piper said it this way. He said, it seemed that with this passage of Scripture more than any other, to recite it was also to experience its reality. The psalm itself was green pasture. The psalm itself was still water. The psalm itself restored my soul. Day by day, I lived it, I ate it, I drank it in, and sure enough, in every situation it came true. The Lord was my shepherd. I did not want, did not have anything that I was in need of because he was my shepherd. I love that because it's so true. When I calm myself and I quiet my soul and I approach Scripture in general, but specifically as we'll look at this morning, Psalm 23, it is green pasture because the word is alive. This is not just words on a page. This is inspired, breathed out by God himself through David to bring refreshment to us. When I was growing up in the Bahamas, I played baseball. That was my thing. I wanted nothing better than to get home from school, put on my gear, and go out to the baseball field. Didn't matter if I was the only one out there. I would hit a ball against the fence. I just wanted to play baseball. And it's hot in the Bahamas. I mean, it gets a little warm here in the summertime, but in Florida, where I'm living now, and in the Bahamas, it's hot. You can't even say the tea, it's so hot, it's like my friend says. So you go home, and you're wanting something to drink. I was a catcher, put on all this gear. I'm sweating buckets for hours. You go home, you just want something to drink. And for me, I don't know if this is weird to you or not, but the best thing, the thing I would run to was a glass of cold milk. There was absolutely nothing like a glass of cold milk. And now I'm told that chocolate milk is one of the best things you can have after a workout. So I was healthy all along. I didn't even know it. I thought I was being kind of ridiculous about it, but I was being healthy. So I'm kind of glad. But it was refreshment. And I love a glass of milk anytime, but it was in that moment of needing, being thirsty, needing something to refresh me that it was even more so. And I'm being honest with you, this is not just a message that I went, oh, this would be good to talk about. This is something that I need. Not needed, I need this. Even as I'm preaching to you right now, I need to be reminded that the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He is enough for me. So I'm going to ask you a question. And this might seem weird, and I'm not asking for answers out loud, but somebody asked me this question at a conference along with thousands of other people. But they asked me, it would seem like they were talking right to me, and I needed to hear this, I needed to think about this. How's your soul? I'm not asking you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? That's an important question, obviously. But what I'm asking you, how is your relationship with Jesus? Are you in a season of dryness? Are you in a season where you're just going through the motions? It's so easy to do. And I'm not asking you, when's the last time you read your Bible? Although that is important. I hope you're doing that. That leads us to our shepherd, absolutely. But when's the last time you opened up your Bible and you read words of life? Not just words on a page. When's the last time you prayed and you felt like you were approaching the throne of grace? And you knew that you were in the presence of the Lord. He's here. He's always here. He's in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. But when was the last time you just knew you were in the presence of your shepherd and you had what you needed? Because life can get in the way of that. And we allow it to. I allow it to. We got to do the next thing. We got to go to the next meeting, the next ministry opportunity. I got to preach the next sermon. This is my fourth Sunday in a row that I'm preaching, and I got to be honest, it gets kind of wearisome when you are constantly in sermon prep and you got everything else going on at the same time, and it's easy just to deliver a sermon. How is your soul? Do you need refreshment? Maybe you go, no, I'm great. I'm actually in a really great place spiritually. That's awesome. This psalm is still for you because you can't wait until you need refreshment to go to God for it. You can't wait until you're thirsty to search for it because Satan's looking to suck the life out of us. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." You say, wait a minute, I thought you were going to talk about Psalm 23 this morning. What does that have to do with Psalm 23? The very next verse, John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." It is in the life of Jesus laid down for us that we find life. And that's not just something that we need the moment that we trust in him. That's something we need every single day to go to the good shepherd for life. So how's your soul? David wrote about our good shepherd thousands of years before those words of Jesus. He was telling us who God is and what he does for us, and Jesus came thousands of years later to say, "I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd that David was writing about." So let's walk through Psalm 23 together. If you have your copy of Scripture, if not, it'll be up on the screen. Psalm 23, verse 1, and we'll just kind of go verse by verse because I believe every single verse in this psalm is a stopping point for us. So let's go verse 1, Psalm 23, 1. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need." And David's going to lay out some beautiful things about how God leads us as our shepherd, but he starts out with closeness to the shepherd. He starts out by saying he's not just a shepherd. He's not only the shepherd, and he is, but he's my shepherd. And before we can go to the shepherd for the things that he gives us, we must just have the shepherd, have closeness to the shepherd. If you're at a sporting event and your kid's playing in the event and they walk out on the field, one of the first things you probably are going to do is turn to the person next to you and go, "That's my girl, that's my boy. I've got a relationship with them. I want you to know that's not just another player on the field." Jesus is not just one of many gods. He is the God, but he's also my God. He's my shepherd. I have closeness with him. And if you are going to find refreshment for your soul, if you are going to find rest in the madness, it has to start with that. It has to start with closeness with the shepherd. Again, I'm not just saying opening up your Bible and praying. Great things, but you have to understand that they point us to the shepherd. These are words of life that point us to Jesus. Roger Ellsworth said it this way. We can't have what the shepherd produces without having the shepherd. A lot of people want the gifts of God. I want God to bless me. I want him to pour out his blessing on my life. But they don't want the shepherd. They don't want to experience the closeness with God. We wait until these seasons of dryness to go, God, now I need you. But you needed him all along. You just thought that you didn't. We pretend that we don't. We have all these other things that we think satisfy, but they don't. Only the shepherd satisfies. David doesn't base his contentment on the things that he has, but on the shepherd that he knows. David goes, I have what I need, not because I have things, but because I have a shepherd. I have Jesus. I have my God, my shepherd. He gives me everything I need, and he is enough for me. And verse 1 alone is enough to bring refreshment. I don't know about you, but often when I go to Psalm 23, I stop and I read that over and over and over again to remind myself, he is my shepherd. That's enough. One of the mantras in my life and my preaching, if you hear me preach a lot, you'll hear me say a lot, Jesus is better. You say, better than what? Better than anything. Better than everything. Everything that we chase after does not offer us what will satisfy our soul. Jesus is life. He is everything we need. We have him, we have what we need. It really is that simple. And it's easy to believe the lies of Satan. And Satan comes in and goes, do you really have enough? Don't you see what they have? Don't you see what you could have, if only? And we have to go, no, I have my shepherd. That's enough for me. Jeremiah 2:13, God said of the people of Israel, and I believe it's true of many of us today, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So we've run from the stream of living water where we get all of our life from, and we try to dig our own cisterns that are broken in the first place. They can't even hold water, but we keep going back to them and going, let me just find a little bit more. Let me just see if I can get enough out of this. And Jesus is going, I'm the river of life. You come to me, you'll never thirst again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I have what I need. Verse 2. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And you go, if you come to my house, there's no such thing as quiet waters around here. But he leads us to places of rest. When we find contentment in the shepherd, when we go, Jesus, you're everything I need, we find rest. Because no longer am I searching for the things that I need. I have what I need. I don't have to search anymore. I can rest. He leads me beside green pastures and quiet waters. And a better translation for than he lets me is he causes me to lie down. Because God is who he is, I can rest. He causes me to rest because of his attributes, his holiness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his love, his grace, his mercy. He causes me to rest. I said that sleep is kind of hard to come by when you have a baby. It's true. And people will look at you sometimes and they'll go, you need some rest. And you almost laugh in their face because you know that's not really possible a whole lot. But if somebody comes to me like they did in the first few weeks, we had some people in our house that were helping us. If they take the baby from us and they go, no, let me take care of her. You rest. You go get some rest. You go, all right, it's good enough for me. I'm going to go take a nap. See y'all in a few hours. Because they've taken the burden from you. Not that your baby is a burden, that's not what I'm saying, but they've taken the thing from you that's preventing you from sleeping so you can rest. It causes you to rest. Jesus said, come to me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. He takes our burden. He takes the anxiety. He takes everything that we're so concerned about. He goes, I'm enough for you. You have what you need. Just rest beside green pastures and still waters. His presence causes us to be able to rest. But it can't come if you haven't found contentment in the shepherd. One of the most abused verses of Scripture, or misquoted maybe verses of Scripture, is Philippians 4:13. Let me read the context of this because it relates to what we're talking about today. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13, Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need. And here's the verse that we misquote a lot. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul didn't say that so that you can believe you can throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball in case you can't already. He said this so that you can know you have the strength to be content. You have the grace you need to find contentment and rest in your shepherd because he takes care of you. He gives you the strength. Even when you don't have the strength sometimes to lift our eyes to him, he lifts our weary head, he lifts our soul, and he leads us beside green pastures and still waters. Rest will not be found in a good night's sleep or a three-week vacation, by the way. Rest will only be found in the presence of your shepherd. We believe that. We go, I just got a few more weeks until vacation, and then I'll rest. I'll find, but you're on vacation, and the only thing you're thinking about is everything that made you anxious at home. Because it's not found in just a good night's sleep or a three-week vacation. Those are important. Take those. But if they're not leading you to the shepherd, you're going to continue to be dry and weary and tired. Rest will only be found in the shepherd, in Jesus. And so when we find our contentment and our rest, he goes on in verse 3 to show us what else our shepherd provides for us. Verse 3 says, he renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. So now we're beginning to peel back the curtain on the purposes of the shepherd. Why is he doing all of this? And to renew my life, that word renew, it means to restore, yes, but it means more literally to bring back to its original intent. Because we run away from God's original intent for our lives. We run to other things. We run to our sin. We run to all these things, and he brings us back. He restores our life when we run to him and we find rest in him. We live in a culture where people turn trash into treasure all the time. Back home, we needed to redo our church stage, and so we dug through dumpsters for pallet wood for a few days. And pallet wood had been thrown away, but it became a treasure for us. We redid it, and some of you know this. My wife, when we moved into our house, she chalk painted everything, and everything was new all of a sudden. So that we live in this culture where we know what it means to restore. To bring something back to its original intent, to bring life back into it. Jesus breathes life back into us. We're damaged often by life and circumstances and sin and our own choices. We turn to him, he breathes life. He restores our soul. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. He's intended for your life to have purpose, to bring him glory, to make disciples all along. He's just waiting for you to turn back to him, for him to restore you to that purpose. The good works that he prepared for you long ago, before the foundations of the earth even. Why would God be interested in this? Because I know me. I'm a mess. I don't know about you, but I don't understand why God would continually lead me back to himself. I keep running away from him, and he keeps bringing me back. He keeps turning me back to him. He keeps reminding me who he is. Why is he so patient with me? Why doesn't he just give up on me? I think we find a big part of the answer here in verse 3. David said, for his name's sake. Because when our hearts are renewed and we find our original intent, the original purpose that he has for our lives, we find that we were created to bring him glory all along. We find that's what we were made to do. And a lot of us, we are running full speed ahead and we're tired and weary because we're trying to build our kingdom instead of God's kingdom, which we were created to do. We're trying to build our life instead of finding the life of Christ in us and letting him live in and through us. For his name's sake, for his glory, not for yours. And you go, man, but that doesn't seem like that's doing a whole lot for me, but it is. When you discover that you were created for the glory of God, it changes everything. You find purpose, you find life. You find that your life is restored. Because we were made for the glory of another, and everything else is a cheap substitute. Everything else is a worthless pursuit. Boy, do I wish the psalm ended with verse 3. Because in verse 4, we'll begin to read Psalm 23:4. David goes into a topic that I don't really want to get into. He says, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Man, I don't want to go through the dark valleys. I just want the green pastures and the still waters. Like, let's stay there for a little bit. But David says, the shepherd leads me through the dark valley. There's a purpose in this. This is not just something that we stumble upon. Yes, there are times that we wander and stray. We find ourselves in the dark valley, but there are times when your shepherd will lead you through the dark valley. And there's a lot that we can say here, but there's something that I don't want us to miss because it's easy just to gloss over. If you notice the language of verses 1 through 3 and now the language of verse 4, something changed. Verses 1 through 3, David was talking about God. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He leads me. He does this. Now he says, I'll fear no danger because you are with me. Now he's talking to God. He's not talking about God anymore. He's talking to God because he's in the dark valley. And the only place he knows to look is to his shepherd. Because it is in times of difficulty and crisis and pain that we find we're closer to Jesus than ever before. Because he's leading us. He's guiding us. And we go, I don't want to look around me. Because that's when I'll fear. But when I look at you, I fear no danger. You're with me. You guide me. You protect me. You lead me. And that is enough for me. Because our peace and comfort do not come from our circumstances. They come from our shepherd. Just like we wait for the vacation time or the good night's sleep, we wait for our circumstances to change. We sit around and we go, God, I just want this to be over so that I can find life again. But sometimes he wants us to find life in the dark valley. Sometimes he wants us to find that he's enough. Not sometimes, as a matter of fact, all the time. We spend our lives running from pain when Jesus goes, I just want you to keep your eyes fixed on me in the midst of the pain and you'll find that I'm enough for you. You'll find something that you never thought possible in the darkest valley if you would just gaze upon me. Because I'm leading you through this. That word through is an encouragement to me. I don't know about you. Because the dark valley is not a stopping point for us. Even death is not a stopping point for us. Even the worst thing that we think can happen to us in this life is really the best thing because death enters us into the presence of our shepherd for eternity. It's not a stopping point. The dark valley is not the end of the story. So you might be in a dark valley right now. You need to know it's not the end of the story. And I don't know if this is encouraging or not, but there may be more dark valleys in your life to come. But your shepherd is enough. Keep your eyes fixed on him. You might not know why, but that's the wrong question. It's the wrong question to go, God, why am I going through this? Sometimes he reveals that and sometimes he doesn't. The question you need to ask is, who's leading me? God, how can I know you more in this time? What can I discover about you through this that will sustain me? That is enough for me. You are sufficient for me. It's one thing to not fear any danger in the valley, but there's more than just the dark valley. There's the enemies that we face. So David's going to go on. He's going to talk about our enemies a little bit in verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We've moved from the dark valley into the house of the Lord. We know that we're in the house of the Lord because of verse 6. Where David says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. We also know that because he says, I'm being anointed, my cup's overflowing, which is what was happening. God was hosting David in his house, in his presence. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Just think about this for a minute. God prepares a table for you where he provides for you, he leads you, he protects you, he restores you, and all around are your enemies. And we go, God, that's not a good picture because you just get rid of my enemies. I don't even want to see them. I don't want to go through the dark valley. I don't want to have to deal with my enemies. We don't want a shepherd with a staff. We want a shepherd with a sword, right? Just get rid of them. But God goes, for my name's sake, I'm going to provide for you in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to make your enemies look on while I sustain you and provide for you. while I take care of you, and they're going to have to watch as I take care of my child. And I'm not talking about necessarily people as enemies. David had people who were his enemies who pursued after him, and maybe you do too, but I'm talking about the enemies that we can't even see. Satan is fighting against us. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is circling the Lord's table, so to speak, looking for who he can devour. Who's not finding satisfaction in Jesus? Let me tempt them. Hey, the party's over here. There's satisfaction over here. Why don't you come over here? And Jesus goes, just look at me. It's you and me at the table. Let me provide for you everything you need, and I will get the glory, and it'll be for your good. I'm going to make your enemies watch as I provide for you, even in the midst of the darkest valley, even in times when it doesn't make sense. Your enemies may be surrounding you, but all the while your shepherd is satisfying you. To anoint your guest's head with oil was a sign of honor. And man, I can't even fathom that God would anoint our head with oil, that he would consider us guests of honor in his presence. And notice his cup's not just full, it's overflowing. My cup overflows. I have more than I need at the table of the Lord. And you go, man, Kenny, I'm just searching to see if there's any water in the cup at all. My cup's not even close to full. It's because you're finding contentment in the wrong things. You're looking in the wrong cup. Here's what Paul said about God providing for us, Romans 8:32. He did not even spare his own son, but he offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? God's all in. He's providing for you. He has blessings waiting for you. Not necessarily the blessings that we often look for, but the blessings that he knows we need, the blessings that he knows will satisfy and sustain us. Ephesians 1:3 gives us a little picture of that. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Has blessed us. You have in Jesus every spiritual blessing given to you through Christ, through his work on the cross for you. So you have what you need. And so if you don't think you have what you need, it's because you're looking in the wrong place. And please remember, this is something that I need, because I keep going, man, if my schedule would just slow down a little bit, if this would just happen in my life, if God would just take care of this, then I would be good. He goes, no, you are good. I've taken care of you. I am taking care of you. You just got to get your eyes off of the things that you can see and fix your eyes on the things you can't see, things that are eternal, your spiritual blessings that I have showered upon you, I have lavished upon you, Scripture says. And all of that is how we come to the conclusion that David comes to in verse 6, where he says, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. David goes, I'm not being pursued by my enemies. I am, but in reality, I'm being pursued by God, by his goodness, his faithful love. And David knew what it meant to be pursued by his enemies. He had a son that turned on him and pursued him to kill him. He had enemies constantly pursuing after him to take his life. Before he ever even became king, Saul, the guy that he was going to take the place of, spent his life trying to kill him and get rid of him. He knew what it meant to be pursued by enemies, and he goes, no, I'm being pursued by the goodness and the love of my God, of my shepherd. That's what I'm being pursued by. That's what I'll fix my eyes on. Because even in the valley, surrounded by enemies, we are led, restored, and loved by the shepherd. Because of God's pursuit of him, David goes, I'm going to dwell in your presence forever. So when was the last time you dwelled in the presence of the Lord? Again, I know he's here. I know he lives in us. But those of you who have a relationship with Jesus, you've been doing this for a while, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When is the last time you dwelt in the presence of the Lord? When is the last time you let him provide for you everything that you need? We think, we've misinterpreted this as well. A lot of people will say, this is David saying, I'm going to be in heaven eternity forever. That is true, but that's not David's focus here. He's talking about the temple, the house of the Lord. That's where God's presence was for them. And David goes, I'm going to dwell in God's presence here on earth for the rest of my life. Yes, one day we will be with him in his presence literally for eternity. But David goes, I will dwell with him in his presence here on earth for the rest of my life. I'm not going to dwell in the valley. I may be in the valley, but that's not where my dwelling place is. That's not where I'm going to abide. I'm going to abide with Jesus. That's who I will dwell with forever, for the rest of my life. So when did you last dwell in God's presence? I love the story of Mary and Martha. And you probably know it well. Martha's busy getting work done, making sure that everything's ready for Jesus. She's doing good things. She's serving the Lord the way that she knows how. And Mary is at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, just dwelling at his feet. And Martha thinks, man, I'm giving my life. I'm pouring everything out for you, Jesus. Like, what's going on? Why aren't you rebuking her? Tell her to help me. She needs to be doing these things too. And here's Jesus' response in Luke 10, 41 through 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You might be choosing a lot of good things, but are you choosing what's better? Are you choosing to dwell at the feet of Jesus? And you go, I don't have time for that. You don't have time not to. Your soul depends on it. When's the last time you dwelt at his feet? Again, I'm not just asking you when's the last time you read the Bible or prayed. You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He goes, you keep searching the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life, Jesus says. Yes, these are the words of life, but if you think this in and of itself, just because I read Psalm 23 today that I'm going to find Jesus, you're missing it. The scriptures point us to Jesus. We have to go to him, dwell at his feet, dwell in his presence. But we go through the motions. It's just another thing on our to-do list. And Jesus goes, stop with the to-do list. Just dwell. Just abide. There'll be time for that. Let me sustain you. Let me lead you. David in Psalm 63 said, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry and desolate and without water. I lived in upstate New York for a year as I went to school up there, and they had tea, but they didn't have sweet tea. And so you go and you say, can I have sweet tea? And they go, no, we have unsweet tea, but I'll put sugar in it for you. And you go, no, that's not sweet tea. That's not the same thing. Like, you don't understand. And so many of us are pursuing secondary things to Jesus, who's the only one that can satisfy us. There's other things that might hold us over for a day or two. They might be good things, but we're missing the source of life, the source of our satisfaction in Jesus. So when's the last time you sat at his feet? Do you need rest? Find it in the shepherd. Do you need restoration? Find it in the shepherd. You go, I just want to know what he has for me next. I need to be guided. I need to be led. God, tell me your will for my life. But your problem isn't one of guidance. It's one of closeness to the shepherd. Stay close to him. He'll lead you. And you can rest in that. You can bank on that. The worship team's going to lead us in one final song. But just for a moment, just before they do that, they're going to play in the background. And I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute, just to remove distractions. This is a practice I try to do often, especially after I read Psalm 23. Just in your heart, I want you to pray to God. And I'm intentionally not going to lead you in what to say. Based on what God has said to you today through his word, based on the circumstances of your life, just spend about 30 seconds and just talk to God. done that, Jesus said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and so the Spirit dwells in us. And Jesus said one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to teach you all things, to remind you of the things that I've said to you. And so based on your prayer to God, I want you to think about what would God say to you based on your prayer to him? What would God's response be to you? One last thing. The first time I did that, my prayer was something along the lines of, God, I just need you to take the mess away. I just need you to change my circumstances. And very clearly God said to me, no, I'm changing you. I'm showing you that I'm enough. Let your shepherd be enough for you. And ask the band to lead us in one more song.